What's up? It's Azisu back again, East Society Podcast. This is episode 55. Today we're doing an episode on Nez's watch of Game of Thrones. We'll be covering all of season 6. We're talking full spoilers for the complete series if you haven't watched it yet. I'll shortly recap each episode, then Nez will give his thoughts, and the discussion is now wide open going into season 7, which starts this Sunday, July 16th. Check out episodes 26, 29, and 52 of East Society to hear thoughts on the first 5 seasons. All that said, the Night's Watch just betrayed him. For the Watch, it's the Nez!
Yo, what's up, everybody? Thank you for joining us once again for Nez on the Throne. This is going to be part 2, if you guys heard part 5, or part 5. When I talked part 1, we were talking about season 5. Before, with the previous episodes, I did 2 seasons in 1 episode, but I just kind of wanted to break up this last one. So, now that it's starting Sunday, this coming up Sunday, with season 7, we're going to do just basically episode for each week. So it'll be a regular segment, Nez on the Throne, during our regular episodes. So get ready for that, and I'm excited, man. I got to try to remember everything now, so let's get to this.
All right, getting right into it. Season 6, Episode 1, The Red Woman, coming off the shocking end of Season 5. Jon Snow betrayed for the Watch and stabbed and left for dead. And the season opens up. We open up with him still laying there in the snow, and you hear his direwolf kind of calling for him. It's kind of sad. But the Friends of Snow gather up real quick and grab him up, and they lock themselves in a room. They don't know what to do, because they're like, uh-oh, like, you know, we're under attack and we're being betrayed. So they're trying to hold themselves off in the room and figure out what to do. In other matters, Sansa and Theon are saved by Brienne after they, at the end of last season, jumped off the wall. So over in Braavos, blind Arya stick fights in the street. The House of Black and White is kind of outcast her at this point. She's got to earn her way back. Daenerys is still gone, and the ships are burned in Meereen. So it's like, just when you think Daenerys is getting going, they once again put a roadblock and burn all her ships. Bran, he finally returns. He was gone all of season 5. And I know for Nez, it didn't impact him as much because he watched it all in order. But for everybody that watched it, it was a long time that he was gone. So he returns, and he's training with the Three-Eyed Raven. And that was episode 1, The Red Woman, which obviously refers to Melisandre. The big reveal, and it wasn't that big to me, was at the end of the episode, she took off her necklace and revealed that she was like super old, like maybe hundreds or 1,000 years old or something. And it was just the necklace that was making her look young.
Yeah, that was kind of trippy. At first, I was like, okay. I mean, yeah, I don't know the actress's name, but she's pretty hot. But I was not liking her, because she was just real evil, and the stuff that they did when they had to burn that little girl, that made me really hate her. But then the end of season 5, when they shanked up Jon Snow, and that just pissed me off. I mean, it was different for all of you guys that were watching this when it was originally airing. Me, I could just jump right to the next episode within seconds, and I was pissed. I was like, oh my God, what's going on? I mean, Jon Snow, I know people are always telling me when I start watching this show is don't get attached to people, because they all end up dying. So I was like, okay, it was kind of hard not to get attached to Jon Snow. But then when they killed him, I was like, oh, and then I was just thinking, all right, well, he's dead. But then when they started talking about, well, you can bring people back, I know you can, when they were talking to the red, the woman, is it the red woman or woman in red?
Red woman.
The red woman witch, or is what I, red witch is what I was calling
Melisandre.
So, but I was kind of like, okay. I mean, I thought it was kind of cheesy. I don't know if this was something that they said, oh, you know what, we need to bring him back, or was he initially going to be dead and that was going to be it, or whoever's writing all this, because I was kind of like, all right, whatever. But then once he did come back to life, I was kind of like, okay, cool. I mean, I'm all right with it now. But at first I was like, oh, really? You're gonna do this? And I was kind of like, okay, I hope the rest of the season isn't gonna be all cheesy and start bringing people back. But I mean, now that they've done this, I mean, are they gonna bring people back into this? I mean, there was something I heard, but I wasn't too sure, of them bringing back what was his name,
Ned?
Yeah, they were talking. Oh, I was thinking.
No way.
How the hell are they going to bring him back? His head got cut off.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's just rumors. That's the way the internet goes, and mm-hmm. Facebook and everything. So, yeah, I'm like, well, if it's rumors, yeah, let it be rumors, because I don't want. I mean, he was an awesome character, but don't bring him back, because then they can bring everyone back that got their heads cut off. But once John was back alive, and he acted like he didn't really know what happened or what was going on, but he did remember who did it. So that was cool.
Well, and, yeah, that was episode 2 when he came back.
Am I jumping forward?
Yeah, but that's okay.
Okay, what was the next one?
The next episode was 6-2 home.
No, when you were talking.
Oh,
the breakdown.
Oh, yeah, go for it.
I don't remember. I'm sorry. Where are we? Sansa and Theon saved by Brienne. Oh, that was cool. But I kind of wanted to see them when they jumped off the wall. I wanted to see them land. I thought they were going to show that, but then no, there was nothing. But I was happy that Brienne came to help him.
She pledges herself to her.
Yeah.
Knee thing.
I thought that was pretty sweet, man. Brienne just, your mom sent me. I pledged my allegiance to her, but she's not here. But she still kept that deal, so I thought that was pretty sweet. And then Sansa, she goes, well, since your mom's not here, I'll give you my allegiance. So that's cool. I was happy with that. I mean, anytime Brienne's on the screen, I'm cool. And then we'll just, okay, blind, how do you say her name?
Arya.
That was pretty cool. I mean, I liked what they were doing there. I mean, I think it was more of to let her use her ears. I mean, there's times where it's dark and you, it kind of seemed like they were training to be ninjas.
Basically,
yeah. And I thought that was cool. I mean, especially fighting when you can't see, you have to use your hearing. I mean, like, what's his
Daredevil
face?
Senses.
Like him and
Iron Fist.
No, what's his nuts? Chroot.
Oh,
Couldn't. Chroot. He couldn't see, and he was using his ears. Same thing with Rector Hauer and Blind Fury. He was the same way. He was like Blind Fury. He was blind and he was using his ears and everything. But sweet movie if you haven't seen it. Check it out. They filmed it here in Reno, and we're actually in Sparks. Same thing. But in the movie Blind Fury, they called it Rena, Rena. I don't know why. If you ever watched that movie, if you ever been to Reno, Nevada, there's the little sign downtown that says Reno, and it's the biggest little city in the world. When they filmed that movie, sorry, I'm off topic, but when they filmed that movie here, they changed the O into an A, and I just thought it was dumb. I don't know why they called it that. But anyway, back to, where are we? The stick fighting thing, I thought that was pretty sweet. I liked what she was doing. But when he made her blind, was that just to help her with her fighting?
Right. Well, it was also kind of punishment because she took her own revenge on that Marin Trout guy, the guy that killed her teacher way back in season 1. At the end of season 5, she jumped up on him and stabbed his eyes out, that guy. So, and then the House of Black and White, they were like, you took a life that, you know, we didn't deem you to take. Like, you're working on your own agenda. And if you're going to be here, you've got to, you know, you've got to be no one. You've got to serve the cause.
Was that the guy that was whipping the little girls in that whorehouse?
Yeah, yeah, Maron Trout. Yeah, he killed Arya's teacher in season one.
I remember that. But when that whole scene was kind of was a tough watch because I didn't know if he was just raping these little girls or what. I was kind of like, ooh, it's going to go that way. But then it seemed like he got off with just beating them. So, I mean, that's not right either, but I was like, okay, as long as they didn't show what I thought they were going to show. But, yeah, I was glad that she got him. He deserved it. I mean, he killed her teacher, and plus what he was doing, he was beating the little girls with a stick. So I was cool with what she did to him. And
Bran returns.
See, I don't remember.
Yeah, so he was gone for a whole year, and then now all of a sudden he's back with the three-eyed raven who is, like, stuck as part of that tree, and he's already, like, doing past training, kind of.
Oh, the kid who can't walk?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was thinking of someone else. What is that? Why does he have that connection with the three-eyed raven and the tree and... wasn't that Magneto in there? No, it wasn't Magneto. It was, who the hell was in the tree?
The dude from
Force Awakens.
At the start of the movie.
Yeah. Okay. And he's been in a ton of movies.
He's been so much.
Yeah. But what was his deal?
Basically kind of like almost knowing all, it seemed like he knew all of the past and even like the path of the future. And he was just showing Bran, who has this power to warg. They call it like warg power. He can take control of Hodor. He can take control of his direwolf. He can warg into all these things. So I don't know if you noticed on one of the things, it appears, and this is like probably going to happen in these last two seasons here, but it appears that he's flying at the end of last time you saw Bran. He's like, will you help me walk again? He's like, you'll never walk again, but you will fly. And that's kind of almost sounds like a tease that he's gonna warg into one of the dragons, like Drogon or the other two dragons, and he'll be controlling one of them at some point. So
all right. I mean, I don't see him maybe not controlling one of them. Maybe it'll be something else, but I don't know. We'll see. What was the next one?
Well, we're moving on to
two.
Moving on to episode two, Home. Daenerys deals with the horsemen. They're related to Khal Drogo, but they don't have any like alliance to him. If you remember all the way back when he died, season one, most of the tribes left her. Like they felt no allegiance to her anymore, and this is like a completely different tribe that has her. But basically they just lay it down that like, hey, you're here with us now, and like your Khal died, so like your place is just to stay here with us and serve the tribe. And she's like, no, I'm not going to do that. But obviously a big shocker, Ramsay fed up with it. Well, let's go step by step.
We'll do the step by step. Once she got with those guys, and they were the dudes that surrounded her, if you don't remember. I'm sure you guys remember, though, on the side, on the hillside at the end of the last season. And when I remember when they first showed him, I was like, okay, those look like the same kind of dudes as Aquaman. You guys know what I mean. Anyway.
Jason Momoa.
Yeah. I was like, okay, well, maybe they were cool with him, but obviously they were one of the ones that, you know what, he's dead, so we respect him, but you're nothing to us. Right. Basically is what they were telling her. And at first, I was like, "Oh man, what is she going to do now?" I mean, I knew at one point the dragons were going to come through, but we just had to wait and see. But Khaleesi, She's hardcore, man. She's like, she ain't no punk, man. She's like, all right, she'll let you say what you have to say before she unleashes hell on you. So, man, that I really love. I met her. I remember her real name, but she's really short and she's really small. And I was like, man. And a lot of these dudes in there, all these big soldiers, are way taller than her. I mean, I couldn't imagine how big they are, but. I mean, but she's got the power the power of the dragon. So that's usually what it ends up to. So I knew it was going to that, but I just wanted to see how they were going to do it. But I was cool. I was cool with all that. I mean, it was good. I see what she does when she's kind of like, I need to figure out these guys out first before I act. So I like how she always has a game plan. Sometimes it may seem like she doesn't, but then she's always got a plan. That's what I love about her.
Right. The next big moment of the episode was after plenty of seasons of Roose Bolton kind of guiding Ramsay Bolton. Ramsay's had enough, and he gets close to him, and he just shanks him, stabs him, and takes out basically, well, it's his adopted father, but it's closest to him, and he basically just takes over Bolton clan and claims Winterfell and Warden of the North.
Oh, I hate that fool. I hate it. You knew he was dirty. You knew what kind of person he is and how he was treating Reek and Sansa and basically pretty much everyone. But, I mean, that was pretty ballsy, man. I mean, he was about that life.
Yeah.
I was a little shocked on that because he was like, basically killed his mentor and everything. They gave him everything. So I was like, all right. But then I think he realized at that point was, look, man, he goes, if I want to be number one, I got to get up. If I'm number two right now, I got to get rid of number one so I can be big boss.
Yeah.
And that's what he did. And I was like, damn, that was hardcore, man. I mean, he just, no heart. I mean, we already know he's got no heart from how he was treating Reek and Sansa and everything. But man, yeah, that was brutal. I mean, that's what this show is. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's always shockers and everything, man. But Ramsay, I hate him.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And also with Ramsay, we kind of got the moment that we never got with Jon Snow and Ned Stark. When we left them, very first episode, they part ways. And it's like next time they see each other, he's going to make him a full Stark and everything like that. And we got that with Ramsay and Roose Bolton before they took Winterfell. They had the whole like knighting service. You are officially Ramsay Bolton now. He was Ramsay Snow before, because Snow is the bastard name in this world. So, but anyways, moving on. The wildlings show up, and the anti-Jon Snow watch is basically taken down. So the people in the room are saved by the wildlings. Tormund and all them show back up at the wall. So everybody's bailed out, and the people that were trying to take down Jon Snow are captured. So there's a moment of relief there, and Melisandre is able to come in, and they're like, we need this guy. The Onion Knight is like, we need this guy, like, bring him back. I know you can bring people back, so bring him back. And she attempts to bring him back, and she's begging, please, please come back. And she doesn't come back, and everybody leaves one by one from the room. And then finally, even Melisandre leaves the room, and we get still for a second. And then Jon Snow's back. He's back. His eyes open, and he has returned.
I was kind of like, okay, I see what they're trying to do. And I mean, even right in the beginning credits, it says Kit Harington.
And yeah, his body.
I know, but his body was there. I was like, okay, his body's there. So, and I kind of knew what they were going to do, because usually, man, if he wasn't going to come back, I think they would have just had something made and just had him laying there so they don't have to pay him. But I was like, okay, they're going to do something, and they're all talking about this reincarnation. So I think he's going to come back and let me just see how it is. I'm glad it wasn't like super cheesy how they brought him back, but in a way I was kind of like, oh, really? But then I was happy that Jon Snow was back. And the first thing that popped in my mind is when he came back, I was like, I hope he remembers everything. I didn't want it to be to where he,
blank.
Yeah, like, well, who are you guys and who am I? I didn't want any of that because then I would have said, oh. But, I mean, it was cool, man. I was happy. And like I said, I was kind of like, eh, okay. Once they brought him back to life. So, but that was cool. But when the Wildlings got there, I mean, everyone, they were all haters. I mean,
won one with them.
I understood why they're mad at him and the guys that killed Jon Snow. I mean, I understood what they were doing, but Jon Snow brought them in to help because they didn't have the manpower. So he goes, we got to bring in other people. So, I mean, I understood that, but yeah, man. I mean, I don't know what those other guys were thinking. Like, hey, let's kill Jon Snow and we can't have the Wildlings here. I think there were still more Wildlings. I think they could have rolled in there and just took over the wall and just killed everyone. And then they would have had nothing. So, yeah, I'm glad that they side with them. But then I was really happy that they captured the guys that killed him. So
right. That
was cool. But am I jumping ahead on
that? No. Yeah.
Well, when they hung him.
Oh, that's his three.
Okay. Well, hold on. Well, I'll get back to that.
All right. Moving on to episode three, Oathbreaker. Rickon Stark, out of nowhere, is brought to Ramsay. So now Ramsay holds a Stark. Rickon's been off the board for a while. If you remember, way back, I think season two, when what's his name? Bran, even disabled, he was actually sitting Lord of Winterfell. But then Theon kind of bust in there and he like tried to betray them. So they went on the run, the two kids. Bran was one of them. Rickon was the other one. So he's kind of been off the board for a while. You remember Bran and Rickon were on the run for a while with the girl and Hodor. So he's brought to Ramsay.
All right. Yeah, when he popped back up on the screen, I was like,
who?
I was like, well, I forgot all about him. The thing was, the last time I saw him, he was little.
Yeah.
Now he's like basically older teenager. I mean, same thing with what's the little kid that can't walk?
Bran.
Yeah, same thing with him, man. You could his voice is deeper, he's taller. But that's just how it goes in that realm, I guess. But it was cool to see him come back. And I got lost where.
Yeah, there's not a lot to say about that. Just moving on. Theon heads back to the Iron Islands where his father has just been thrown off the bridge by his own brother. It's kind of like a play for the Iron Islands. And Theon returns just in time to kind of support his sister's take for the throne of the Iron Islands because that's one of the seven kingdoms of Westeros. So.
I was cool that he was Theon again and he snapped out of Reek because he was really scared when Sansa was calling him Theon. And well, she knew who she was and she was still mad at him. But then he goes, there's no Theon, I'm Reek. And he was like truly scared. I mean, of course, man, he got his stuff cut off, man. And he knew that Ramsay wasn't playing. So I could see why he was really scared. But I mean, I didn't like Theon for what he was doing, but I kind of started to feel sorry for him. But he deserved all that anyway. But when he went down and he saw his sister, and he basically, like, Theon was basically the one that was supposed to be next in line to be the leader. But he flat out said, I'm in no shape. I can't do it. So, I'm going to let my sister do it. But it seemed like everyone else wasn't having it.
Yeah, they wanted the brother that showed up and betrayed his brother, threw him off that bridge thing. They wanted him. So I think we're skipping ahead a little, but that's fine.
I didn't like that guy either, man. That guy
He's
wasn't
probably
going
to play a good part in the next season.
Well, he needs to get killed because I didn't like him. Are we jumping ahead to that party scene?
Yeah. Oh. We'll get there. We'll get there, though. To finish episode three, John Snart takes out those who betrayed him, including that guy who was always against him at the wall, and even the kid whose name escapes me right now. But he takes them out and then walks down after the beheading and is like, my watch has ended. So the episode ends and you're like, oh, damn, he's like, he's done with the Night's Watch now.
Well, I was glad that they killed all the dudes that the betrayers and all that. I mean, especially that little kid. But I understood why that little kid was mad.
Yeah.
And but that was a pretty brutal scene, man. Usually they don't, when someone's getting hung, they don't like show it. Remember, they were showing this. But I was glad that they got what they deserved. I mean. Here, John, I understand, like I've said before, I understand what those people want, why they didn't want the wildlings, but John was thinking to protect the wall, we need help, like I said, because we don't have the manpower, but they were still totally against it, and then they shanked him, and then when he came back to life, and which I'm sure they were all shocked, that, hey, man, you guys got to die. Sorry about that. And then that was the end of all them. So, but then I think that was another thing to show his men, like, look, I ain't no joke. So if you cross me, this is what's going to be happening. You're going to be the one hanging here. So, but yeah, I was glad they did it. And then that little boy one, that was kind of a tough thing to watch, but, hey man, he was part of it too. So
Ollie, yeah. The kid's name was Ollie.
he got his, so. Yeah, what's next?
Episode 4, Book of the Stranger. Arya's eyesight returns. Not much probably to say.
Well, I knew it was going to come back. I mean, she wasn't going to be blind forever. She's still one of the main players and everything. But, I mean, it was a training thing. It was a punishment, and it was a training thing because she learned to use her hearing. To fight. And I mean, even she was starting to kick ass when she was blind. She was getting whooped up in the beginning. What was that other girl's name that was real mean to her?
Oh man, it's on the tip of my tongue. It's like a random name, though. It's like the wench or something like that. Something to that effect. But over in Meereen, it's been 4 episodes without Daenerys to rule Meereen, so Tyrion's kind of had to take charge, and they're having all kinds of problems with the Sons of Harpy trying to take control. So Tyrion meets with the slaver leaders, and he offers them, they have 7 years they can keep slaves, but at the end of 7 years, slavery's got to end. So they've got to wind it down over 7 years. He tries to make a deal with the Sons of the Harpy.
Tyrion, he just doesn't want his head cut off because he said that. And he goes, look, man, I don't want to get my head chopped off. So I gotta try to make a deal with these guys and hopefully they take it. During all that, when, Khaleesi was gone and he was basically, in charge because there was, that one soldier and who's that girl that's always there?
Oh, with the hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's like the handmaiden. She joined when she first got the army, the Unsullied, when she handed the dragon over. And then, like, the guy's like, I can't control the dragon. And then she's just like, Dracarys, and it flames him. And then so she was right-hand person of that guy. So she just joins Daenerys.
Well, she didn't want to die. So, look, I got to join this team so I could live.
Exactly.
Yeah, Tyrion, man, he's a little silver tongue, man. He's got to do what he's got to do. I mean, basically, he's a little hustler, and he's got to do what he's got to do to stay alive. So, I mean, you can't hate on him. He's my favorite character, man. I love Tyrion. He's just badass, too. But the scenes that were making me laugh, I don't know if we're jumping forward, is when they were, like, bored and didn't have nothing to do. So they were like, we got to do something.
Telling some jokes, right?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Because he was like, well, tell me a joke. And that one soldier, what's that soldier guy's name?
Grey Worm, right? Yeah, I think.
Because he finally loosened up because he was just all about business. And then when he finally, I got a joke. And then I was like, it wasn't very funny, but it was cool to see that he's slowly going to, that was the first step of him coming out of his shell and stop just being a badass and strictly business. But I thought all that scene was cool because they were just basically sitting around and, Tyrion was getting a swerve on and he goes, "Here, man, drink with me." And that one girl was like, "Oh, we don't drink." And the soldier, same thing. We don't drink, but he, little silver tongued devil, man, he got him to drink. So he knows. I mean, all that was cool, but, that just the deal that he did with those, who were the other guys?
Like the slavers, they represented the Sons of the Harpy.
Okay. Yeah. When he was dealing with them, I mean, he had, at that point, man, he had to do something. Look, I gotta at least show them something that we're on the same page. So 7 years is a long time, but he was against all the slavery thing too, but that was the only thing he had working for him. He had to throw that card on the table to, all right, well, there's gonna be a time limit, but you can still have your slaves and everything. So he did what he had to do. So, I mean, you can't hate on Tyrion like that.
Yeah, exactly. I think the quote, too, he used was, "I drink and I know things." So, but moving on to the big moment of the episode, Daenerys meets with all the horsemen leaders in the kind of grass hut lodge things, and they kind of lay it down how it's going to be, how she's going to basically serve them. And like, she's like, "No, like, you need to join me." And they're like, "Of course we're not doing that." So she's like, "Okay." And she just basically locks them all in the grass hut and burns it down. And she can just emerge, obviously, from fire. We know she's fireproof. So that was a pretty amazing scene. And also Jorah and the other guy she knows arrive just in time. They try to rescue her, but basically they show up just in time to see her pull a boss move.
That was cool. I knew what she was doing because then when she just had them all locked in there. I mean, but they were basically getting ready to rape her and just have a train on her, all of them. So, but she, like I said earlier, man, she's always got a plan. It might not come to her right then, but she's got a plan. So that was cool, man. She went in there, gave her speech, and look, if you guys aren't going to listen to me, you're all going to die. And they're like, "Yeah, right." And then, okay, let me show you something real quick. And then that's when the whole place went off fire. I knew she wasn't going to die. I knew she was fireproof because, whatever season that was when she walked out with the dragons out of the flames, I thought, well, that was first season, wasn't it?
Yeah, into first season.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that was cool. So I knew she was going to come out of this without a scratch. But, I mean, that was another thing, man. She had to prove, look, I got to keep proving to these fools that I ain't no joke. And that's what she did again to everyone who was outside. So they, all right, we're going to follow you now.
Yeah.
So it was a good plan. Plus, to get all those, there's always got to be someone with a big dick. And it seemed like that whole tent all wanted to be big dicks. So she said, "You know what? I'm going to be the big dick and I'm just going to burn all you motherfuckers up." So I thought that was awesome. And she just rolled out like, "I ain't, this ain't none but a thing," and just rolled right out and everyone else was just charred. Right. So that was pretty awesome. I love that
one. And the two dudes that showed up to save her show up just in time outside. They're like, "Damn, they took the knee. Whoa."
Well, they had to. She's like, "I ain't no joke, man. Look." How many dudes were in there, man? It was at least over 20.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And I just took them all out with one swing.
Right. Exactly. The last moment of the episode, and to me, the Daenerys thing was the biggest, but I mean, this is big as well. After all these seasons, this is season 6, they haven't seen each other since the first episode. Sansa and Jon are reunited, and Sansa presents a plan to take back Winterfell.
Sansa, like, I don't know if I said this last, with part one or when I was talking about season 5, but it seemed like she's finally getting some balls because she was killing me that whole time when she was running around with Littlefinger and then it just letting Ramsey do what he had to do to her, and she just did not show any kind of backbone. And she seemed like the type of girl that was just, I'm just gonna go with the flow, and people are gonna wait on me, and I don't have to worry about anything. But she's fine. Like, look, I think dealing with what she dealt with Ramsey is what toughened her up. I mean, I didn't like the whole rape thing. I mean, that wasn't right. So, but I don't want to say that made, I mean, it might have or it might not have, but that, I think that might have made her a little tougher to where, so look, I can't be just, I can't let these fools step on me. I got to show them that I got some kind of balls. So that was cool. I mean, I liked it. Now she's thinking, because before she was only out for herself, and I'm gonna live this lavish life, and everyone's gonna wait on me. Now she could, like, I'm in the real world now. My parents are gone. We got to get our home back. So I need to step up to the plate and show them that I ain't having it. So that was cool. But I did like it when they saw each other and they were like, after all this, because I'm sure they both thought. They both thought each other was dead, because they basically just got separated and were on different sides of the world. Mm-hmm. So, but I was cool that they finally got back together. And well, I'm gonna jump. I don't want to jump forward yet. Yeah.
All right. And now we come to one of my favorite episodes of the whole series. It's a more tragic one, and I'm going to start with the end to get your reaction on that for us. Season 6, episode 5, The Door. Basically, we get lots of Bran and the Three-Eyed Raven kind of researching the past and kind of seeing Ned as a kind of teen, and the whole tower battle kind of thing. We start to get pieces of that. But as that happens, they're resting, and without the Three-Eyed Raven's knowledge, Bran goes into the past and discovers that the children, who are the like kind of green wearing people that are also hanging out with them, they are actually responsible for creating the first White Walker, and it looks like the reason why they created them was to stop man, basically. So we get that vision, but in the vision, the White Walker grabs Bran, and grabbing him, like, I guess, notifies them in the real world where they are, and the whole place comes under attack. The Three-Eyed Raven can't leave, but tells them to go out the back. It's a crazy mash of zombie White Walker whites and stuff all coming down the hall, and it's a hectic battle, and a lot of the children of the forest sacrifice themselves. They come down to the end of the hall, and the girl has, you know, Hodor open the door, and then she's carrying Bran away into the snow, and Hodor holds the door, and we get the revelation and the mashup of her saying, "Hold the door, hold the door." It mashed up to where the warging affected Hodor in the past, and it messed him up as a kid. He was a normal kid, but because of what was going to happen in his future, he got messed up. And we discover after all this time that Hodor is Hold the Door, and that scene is incredible and like heartbreaking, and I felt it, and that was like an amazing, incredible moment on Thrones.
Yeah, I was cool. I was wondering what the fuck are they doing? Because they kept showing all these old flashbacks when he was with the Three-Eyed Raven. And a quick question. Why is he in the tree and he can't get out?
I think that's just like that form of him. Like, I don't know. I get the impression that he could have ravened out of there, but he didn't. And then he just stood up and the Night King basically like took him out. So I don't know. He like sacrificed himself to slow them down, maybe.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just wondering why he was in the tree.
Yeah.
Even before all that.
He seems stuck there if he's not in raven form. So, and it's like Bran is the new Three-Eyed Raven. And there is a theory, and this is really weird and mind-bendy, that the guy in the tree is Bran. Like, it's him, and he was teaching himself, and that's where he's eventually going to end, but he'll warg to the past, like he helped himself. Yeah, it's pretty mind-bending.
I don't think so. Yeah. I mean, because they didn't. I mean, everyone else saw the guy in the tree, the three-eyed raven. They all saw him in the tree, so it wasn't like... It'd be different if he like walked into the tree and he was the only one that could go in there and he's the only one that saw what was in there and everyone else was outside. Okay, then I would buy that theory, but then everyone got to go in. So I don't know, but we'll see. Who knows?
Hold the door.
That was cool to see. Okay, now we know what he's saying, because that whole time I was like, what the hell's Hodor mean? But I mean, I knew... I just knew he was a special person, and
he got messed up by Bran though. Basically.
Yeah, so I was like, all right, it's cool. It was sad, but what was the deal with them showing his dad? I kind of got lost.
It gets revealed as we further go, so we'll mention that around episode, I think, 9 or 10.
Okay, yeah, because I was kind of like, why is he showing him all this? But
it's important to his parentage, to Jon Snow's parentage, and Bran is basically the one that's learning about it. So,
yeah.
Anyways,
okay, yeah.
Earlier in that episode, Daenerys starts to bring the horsemen with her as they travel back to Meereen. And I'll just throw this into, and you can react to both storyline with the Blackfish and River Run. That's basically what Jaime's doing this season. He's sent from King's Landing to basically be this mediator between the guy that did the whole Red Wedding setup, that guy, and the Blackfish, who's holding this territory, and that he just wants it back. And they're holding, they've been holding that one guy ever since the Red Wedding. The I have his name written down. Edmure. Is being held by Walda Frey. That happened way back at the wedding when everybody got jacked up. Right before the Red Wedding went down, Ed Muir, who, if you remember back then, he was who the Starks offered up, because Walda Frey was expecting to be married into the Stark family and become part of that. And the Starks got this... Ed Muir guy. They're like, hey, we'll give you this guy. So he's been held since then. So there's this whole Blackfish versus, the Lannisters and Walda Frey.
How long was that going on? Because it seemed like they were there.
Most of the season.
Yeah. And we didn't see any of that until now.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I see what they were doing. I mean, they basically wanted to take over that castle and the other guy wasn't going to give it up. So... Brienne's the one that rolled in there. Was that the one?
Yeah, she eventually does at the end of that storyline. She rolls in there and goes out in the boat, and Jaime could like alert the troops, but it's kind of a cool like he waves to her and she waves back. So it was kind of a cool like, hey, you know, we had a past. Like Jaime probably should be like, get him, but
no. I mean, I think that whatever season it was back when she was taking him along, I think it was that little bond they got. Because even what was the dude that was hanging out with him? The hound? No, not the hound. The dude, the one with the dude that was with Jaime, that was with Tyrion.
The sellsword guy.
Yeah. What's his name?
Braun?
Yeah, that was it. I mean, those two, man. I mean, especially Jaime, man. They just go back and forth with the funny lines, and that was cool. Yeah. And then the line that made, or the part that made me laugh, is when they were talking about it, if they would do Brienne, and Jaime was like, I don't know. I mean, but then Braun was like, yeah, I would. So I thought that was funny.
Right.
But I think there was some kind of a little connection between Jamie and Brienne, because they, you can kind of slowly see it a little bit, but it wasn't too much. But who knows? Maybe they will. But I'm sure she's like at least 2 feet taller than him.
Right.
But hey, that's all right. I mean, the tall girls need love too. So, but yeah, I thought that was cool. I knew Jamie wasn't gonna sell her out. I mean, I knew he was just gonna let them go. So that was cool.
Yeah. Moving on to episode 6, season 6, Blood of My Blood. Margaery avoids the Walk of Shame because Tommen recognizes the faith and gives the High Sparrow power.
Oh, I mean, I love Margaery. Oh, I just love that actress. I mean, I first saw her in that movie, The Forest, and I had no idea she was in this show, so I was all good. But she's a little evil bitch. I mean, she's another one. She's just trying to get ahead and do what she playing has to game. Do. Yeah. So, yeah, she's playing the game, and it ends bad for her. Cause, I mean, but that was a good hustle to get out of that.
Yeah,
because I don't think she's as strong as what's her face? Sarah Connor.
Cersei.
Yeah, Cersei. I don't think she was. Cersei was like, look, I'm going to do this to show you guys I'm no joke. And she toughed it through. But Margaery, I knew I kind of wanted her to do it because she just seemed like it would have just broke her down. I don't even think she would have made the full walk, because I'm sure she would have probably just fuck it and just fall and let everyone throw shit and piss and fruit and everything at her. So, but yeah, she's playing the game, man. She did it, man. She hustled her way out of it. So, yeah. Well, we'll get back to her in a little bit.
Yep. Further in that episode, the betraying brother on the Iron Island, he takes the crown. They do the whole like drowning ceremony. What is dead may never die. And as he's doing that, as he's taking power, Theon and his sister take as many of the iron ships as they can. And that's like a big thing in the whole world. That's the power of the Iron Islands is the iron ships, but they take as many as they can. And then of course, as he's crowned king of the Iron Islands, he's like, we'll go after him. We're going to chase him down. But basically, their whole idea is to head off to meet Daenerys, which we'll eventually get to.
Yeah, I mean, I was glad that they did that. I mean, they got out of there. Did we miss that party scene?
You can mention it right now, because it's about right there.
That yeah. Party scene, man. What was his sister's name?
I'll look it up while you go.
She was no joke, man. I mean, I knew her door swung the other way. Oh man, she was hardcore. I won't repeat the line, but yeah, man, if you remember that scene when they were all partying and drinking and the chicks were all over the place, she basically just took that girl and, I'm gonna have my way with her while you sit over here and, twiddle your thumbs. Cause right. Theon, other than he can't anymore, but, right. But hey, yeah, I mean, I like her. I like that character. His sister. I can't remember her name.
I'm almost there.
Zisu's looking it up right now. But it was good. I was glad that they got away from their brother, because their brother, he was a straight up asshole right from the get go when they first saw him. At first, I was like, okay, well, maybe they'll team up and it'll be all good. But obviously, it wasn't, because he turned out to be an asshole and he's only out for himself. And he's already a little crew with him. But they stole all the iron ships and not all of them, but and rolled out. So that's good. And, I see what they're doing, man. They're just trying to build their armies. Man, dude, it's all right. Forget it. they're trying to build their armies so they can roll into the fight and just be ready. So, that's cool. I'm all good with what those guys are doing right now.
I can't believe it's taken me this long to find it.
But there's like if you're on IMDb, there's like a
Yara. Okay. It's Yara Greyjoy.
I was gonna say, there's like a million of those fools.
Yeah, that's the problem. But yeah, so Yara and Theon are on the ships now, headed to possibly make a deal.
Did they kill the that one lady already? The one that was with the boy that can't walk and all them? Was she a wildling?
Oh, yeah. By, you're talking about she was when the early team of Hodor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she was with Rickon. I kind of glossed over that. Yeah. She was delivered with Rickon to Ramsay. So.
And then they slit her throat, and I liked her. I didn't like her at first, but then when she got killed, I was like, oh, weak. But I knew that was coming. As soon as she walked into that room, I said, oh, she's dead. And that's what they did, is slit her throat. So I was kind of bummed that she died because she cleaned up pretty good.
Right. Back over in Arya's storyline, she's back in good with the House of Black and White, and is sent to this playhouse, which is kind of fun because you kind of get like a history of what's happened on the show. They're performing it as a play, the whole Battle of the Five Kings and Joffrey and the Starks and the Lannisters and everything. So that's kind of fun to see it like performed as a play within the show. But basically, the long and short with that storyline is Arya can't bring herself to poison the actress who the one other fellow actor hired the House of Black and White to perform this assassination. She can't bring herself to do it, and she basically knows that she's not going to be welcome back at the House of Black and White, so she just prepares. She goes to get her sword, and she's ready to stand her ground.
That was tough for not for me to watch, but I'm sure it was tough for her because seeing what happened to her dad and everyone's laughing, they were just making the whole story that we've seen so far just a big mockery. And
right.
But it was cool. I mean, where are they right now? During all that, where are they?
In Braavos, which is way north of where Daenerys' storyline is taking place.
Oh, okay, but. Yeah, man, I felt bad for her because everyone else is laughing around her and she just stand. Well, she was laughing too with some of the stuff until it got to her family part, and then she was kind of like, "This ain't funny." But why didn't she just couldn't? Why didn't she kill her, the main actress lady? Why couldn't she do it?
I think she just started to like sympathize with her and like the character she was playing. She got to know her kind of, so she couldn't bring herself to do it.
Yeah, because usually when the House of Black and White, they look here, this is the person we want you to kill, and that's it. You just go in there and do it, no questions asked. But yeah, I think getting to know that actress lady, she kind of like, I don't know if I can do this. But she didn't do it because she dumped that poison in her rum because that chick likes to get her swerve on all the time. But then she ran in there and knocked it out of her hand. So yeah, I figured, all right.
She pointed out the guy who put in the hit. She's like, watch out for that one. Arya points out the guy who put in the bounty or the contract.
Yeah, so, but that was cool. That's kind of went on for a while with the whole play thing.
Yeah, I kind of jammed it into that episode. But moving along, episode 7 of season 6, The Broken Man, the Blackfish, that whole thing, we've already kind of talked about it, but he won't negotiate with Jaime, and he doesn't care about the whole Edmure thing, and he could care less. Tyrion meets with a Red Priestess of Meereen, kind of like Melisandre, and she promises to rally all the priestesses to Daenerys' cause. If you remember that.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I don't remember that part.
She's dressed in red. She kind of almost looks like the same thing. And she vows to bring all the priestesses to Daenerys' cause. So,
I guess just another move to strengthen their army, their forces. I really don't remember that part too much. Probably wasn't that.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was just talking when all that was going on, so I don't remember.
Yeah. But then here's another big moment of the season. Definitely presumed dead since the end of season 4. The Hound lives! He returns, and he's just working on the land.
He fell off that rock, right?
Mm-hmm. And Arya left him there. He asked Arya to finish him, and she wouldn't. And we just assumed, like, they're out in the middle of nowhere. He's gone. He's dead. But, of course, he survives.
I was happy to see him again because I hope he doesn't to bring this grudge against Brienne. And who knows? But yeah, maybe he will, maybe he won't. But maybe they'll team up. Because if they both teamed up together, they'd be able to kick ass, both of them. Right. But it was good to see him. It looked like he was, I don't know how long it was after he was landing. Because when he fell off that rock, that was pretty high. And I'm sure he broke something. But he obviously stuck it out. And he was a strong guy. And he made it through. And what's that actor's name that took him in?
Ian McShane tries to teach him how to be good and stuff like that. And then, of course, the Brotherhood Without Banners. I can't remember actually if he's Brotherhood Without Banners or Brotherhoods Without Banners are the ones that kill them all. But basically, it just shows the Hound like, okay, you tried to live like a good life, but that's not the way it is.
Yeah, because that little colony that they were living in was like, we don't live that way. We don't live by the sword and all that. But
that's the way it is.
Yeah, that's how it is out there, man. You got to live and die by the sword. And well, they didn't die by the sword. They got hung. But there was a lot of hanging this season for some reason. But I could see what that guy was trying to tell. He was trying to be a mentor to him. Look, you just need to be good and live your life and all that. Because he had told him straight up, yeah, man, I was out there doing my hustle thing too and doing bad shit. But then he goes, I learned my ways was wrong. So he was trying to teach that to, the hell's his name? The Hound. And the Hound was like kind of leaning that way. But then when he realized, when they all got killed and he came back, he goes, look, man, this way ain't going to help. I got to do what I got to do. Yeah. So, but that was cool to see him come back. And I like that little side story that they were doing on what he's been doing, after we all thought he was dead.
Right. The episode ends with Arya being stabbed and she jumps off of the bridge. She survives that encounter though.
That was a scene. I was like, I probably need to watch that scene again. But it looked like when that girl stabbed her, it was like she twisted the knife and did all kinds of stuff. And especially, that was kind of like, no, I don't know if she could be jumping and running and all that with a big old stab wound in your stomach. And well, I guess obviously she didn't hit anything major because Arya didn't bleed out. So, but. For some reason, I thought she was just going to just bleed out and die. But I said, well, it kind of seemed like they're leading her up to be something big. So I don't know. If anything, sorry, everybody, tired. I thought she would like maybe just slash her arm or something and so she can get away. But that, I don't know that. Well, this whole show is unbelievable, but I thought that I've been getting stabbed. I've never been stabbed, but knock on wood. But I don't think she could have been. Well, I guess her adrenaline was pumping up because she was jumping and fighting and everything. But that was a cool scene. I mean, I liked it.
All right. I'm going to give you all these notes for episode 8, No One, all in one, because the last two episodes are really big. So John and Sansa meet with Little Lady Mormont, who is an absolute star of the show. She's amazing, and joins them. Theon and sister decide to sail to Meereen. We already touched on that. The slave masters attack Meereen just in time for Daenerys's return. The city's under attack, even though Tyrion made that deal. The slavers decide just to attack. But then just in time, they're sitting in the tower. They don't know what to do. Boom! Daenerys walks back in the building.
I thought that was cool. Well, let me go back a little bit to that little girl.
Yeah.
She was hardcore, man. She was just a little ass. How old was she?
God, was she even 10? Little Lady Mormont.
Maybe, but she was like, look, I ain't no joke, and this is what I'm about. So she was letting her nuts hang, and I thought that was awesome. Whoever that little actress is was brilliant. She, I'd like to see her another thing. Is this the only thing she's done?
As far as I know, we should probably look that up.
Yeah, man. I mean, because she was like just a powerful little actress. And if you're listening, little girl, right on. I hope you get more scenes in this next season. But yeah, when the slave guys started attacking, what was that place?
Marine.
When they started attacking them, I was like, uh-oh, because they're boats. And that was cool. I loved all the CGI and the effects of when they were launching those catapult things at the pyramid. And you just hear and Tyrion and all those guys are like, well, he even said, it'll be all right. They can't get in here. But it was those little catapult flame things were just getting higher and higher and everything. But I liked how did the... When Daenerys showed back up, did a dragon? Yeah, he like basically landed on it, and then she came walking in, and
that was how the episode ended.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I thought that was cool. I was about to go forward.
Yeah. Well, we're about there. Entering the final two episodes of the season, probably two of the biggest episodes of the whole series, episode 9, Battle of the Bastards. But before we get to that, Theon and his sister Yara, who we just looked up, they align with Daenerys. The slavers try to negotiate with Daenerys. They're on that cliff, and she's just like, nah, and the dragon comes up, swipes them out. She boards one of the dragons. The dragons take to the sky and flame all the slavers' ships, and they just pretty much take down those guys once and for all.
That was pretty sweet, man. I mean, I like that, how after she just took out those fools and she said, look, I'm tired of proving to you guys that I ain't no joke and I'm all about that life. So she dusted those fools. But when she climbed up onto the dragon and then that was awesome. I mean, just they were just roasting all the ships. The effects, man, the CGI team, man, they did a good job. And the CGI, to me, has been just getting better and better every season, because I wasn't too impressed with the CGI in the beginning of the series. And now it's just like spot on, especially with these dragons. What was that one movie with dragons? I know Matthew McConaughey. Rain of Fire. I thought that was good CGI dragon. And this one, man, it's pretty cool. But speaking of dragons, I'm going to step off really quick. There's a movie called Dragon Slayer that came out in the 80s. If you really want to see some good, stop animation, claymation, dragons and everything, check that one out. It's pretty good. And there's practical dragons. Well, it's all practical because they all made it. There was no CGI back then. Yeah, when she jumped on and just started roasting all the ships, I thought that was pretty badass. I mean, I love what the hell's her name?
Daenerys.
Yeah, I just love when she just shows everyone
she's
that
seen so much now by this point. She's just like, nah, no more deals. You're done.
Well, everyone, man, everyone that she tries to make deals with and be good, they always try. Now, hell no. Who's this little chick? Let's just step over her. But yeah. I mean, they all know she's got dragons. I don't understand why they test her. And right. When they do, she's like, look, I'm tired of this. And then just kills them all. So I'm cool. Do the dragons all have names?
Yeah. Drogon's the main one.
The black one.
And then... the other two are like named after her brother, the one that got the gold dumped on his head, like Varys or Vicaris or something like that. And then I can't remember the other one, but Drogon's the main one. So anyways, just real quick on this point, because you want to save your thoughts for the final episode on this. But Tommen proclaims that trial by combat is over, because that's what... The Faith of the Seven wants, and instead Cersei's to stand trial in front of seven septons. So that's just like news leading into the final episode. So, just briefly.
She's another one that's always got something up her sleeve, and she was, well, you guys all know, but she's another hardcore one. She's about that life too. She kind of wants to just lay in the cut and not do what she does, but they this is another one, man. They test her, and she's got to prove that she ain't no joke. So I love when she gets that way.
Exactly. And that's just the beginning of the episode. We finally get into the meat of the episode, which could have been a movie on its own. Probably some of the most amazing stuff they've done on Game of Thrones. The Battle of the Bastards. We finally get Jon Snow versus Ramsay Bolton. The epic battle before everything led to this. As the battle starts, Rickon runs out onto the field. Ramsay sends him out there and readies his arrows. And of course, Jon rides out to try to save his brother. But of course, as these things go, just as he gets to him, the arrow lands and takes out Rickon, which basically enrages Jon Snow, and the battle is on. So he's standing there out in the field, and Ramsay's forces charge. There's a huge battle, so much going on. There's giants, 1-1, charging all around, and it's mayhem. There's a part with a crush where Jon Snow is like in stuck in the middle of all these people. They're basically being crushed because they're circled up around each other. Eventually, it gets to the point where Sansa made the deal with Littlefinger, and the Knights of the Vale show up, almost Lord of the Rings style. They show up flank style and start to push back Ramsay's forces. And at this point, personally, I thought, okay, the episode's over and they'll go into 10. But no, John's not having it, and they push ahead, and the giant burst down the doors of Winterfell, and Ramsay's there with arrows, and sadly, 1-1 gets taken out. He falls to his knee, and Jon Snow's looking him in the eye, and blah, he gets it one right to the eye, finishing off 1-1 for good. But then you get the awesome scene, finally, one-on-one combat of Jon versus Ramsay. And Ramsay's firing off arrows at him. Finally, Jon's close enough with the shield. Bam! He takes him out. And you want him to finish him off for good, but Sansa shows up. The battle's won. And once again, after 6 seasons, the Stark banner flies again over Winterfell and the Wardens of the North. So I'll just might as well finish off this last point because there's a lot for you to discuss there. But now that Winterfell's back under control, Ramsay's in the dungeon, and you know, he's just talking trash to Sansa. Sansa shows up, and he once, you know, starved his dogs to like set on people, and he's like, "My dogs will never betray me." And she's like, "Yeah, but you starved them. So what do you think they're gonna do?" And she walks away as they rip up Ramsay, and he's gone for good. So that's a lot to sink into. But yeah, what do you think about Battle of the Bastards?
This was the best episode out of every season so far. I mean, that whole battle, it was basically a ripoff from Braveheart, but it was still awesome. I thought some of the background CGI was a little shitty, but it was an epic battle. I mean, it was like, oh man, they back and forth with the arrows, and when his brother got killed, I mean, I knew he was gonna die. I mean, there was only one way he was gonna get it, and because he wasn't gonna make it. I know, that's what I was thinking, man. This idiot was just running straight. I mean, like zigzag. I mean, you can at least, well, if a bullet comes at you, yeah, you can maybe dodge it, but arrow, once it's in the air, I mean, just he should have turned around and saw it coming. Yeah. Then let me step this way. But I don't know, but he was scared, man. He was just trying to get to his brother, and then when he went died, and John, he was just like, oh hell yeah. And then everyone just, I like it just when they just charge at each other.
Midnight and torment everybody back behind John. They're like, go.
That was awesome. It just did, that whole battle scene was badass. I mean, I love when they always start off with the arrows and everything. I was waiting for some flaming arrows, but no, we didn't get any of that. But just that whole battle, I mean, just what was going on. But then it was kind of like, you knew that the John didn't have the numbers, because I was kind of like, well, they're going to do what they can until they get overpowered, because Ramsay and his crew, man, they were just chilling on the hill, and they were just sending in like squad after squad. And then the numbers of Jon Snow and his crew, the wildlings, their numbers were starting to fall down. And then when they got circled, and that was brutal. I was like, man, is John gonna die here? But then I was thinking, can he die?
Right.
I wasn't sure if he can die now, because they brought him back to life. He's basically dead, but I'm glad he's not like a zombie John, to where he's gonna start rotting or anything. But who knows? We don't know yet. But that scene when he was just getting crushed, I mean, I don't know if you guys ever been to concerts. The concerts that I go to are all wild heavy metal shows and all that. And there has been time I felt John's pain. Not maybe not to that point to where he was so scared he couldn't get up. I mean, there was times where the crowd is so bad, especially at these big shows, and the whole crowd just like moving, and you just have to move with it. And when everyone fell on top of him and he couldn't get up, there was times where I was like John, like I fell on the bottom of the crowd and I was trying my hardest to get up. And when you got like tons and tons of weight on top of you and you just can't even move, I was just like, there has been incidents like that at concerts where people have just basically got suffocated because they got trampled on. But I'm getting a cramp in my leg. But I was just like holding my breath, man. Come on, dude. Just somebody help him up, man. But everyone was piling on top of him and just, they were basically just crawling over each other. I mean, when they were trying to crawl over that wall of bodies and everything, and I was like, oh man, that must have been brutal. Much less the stench of blood and everyone, because I'm sure everyone doesn't take showers every day. So I'm sure they're all just real ripe. But man, but then when Santa came around the corner with Littlefinger and her army,
Knights of the Vale,
I knew she was trying to tell John, look, man, I got something. Yeah, but he wasn't having it. He wasn't listening. And she, at that point, I think she knew, like, look, man, this motherfucker ain't going to listen to me. I got to prove it. So luckily, I just totally forgot about her. So I was glad that she showed up, and I was like, oh, good. And then they came in and just wrecked house, and I thought that was cool. And when they charged into Winterfell, is that where that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, when they charged into there. And I felt, I was sad when one man, he was a soldier all the way, man. He had hella arrows in him from out just being out in the battle and just throwing everyone all over the place. I mean, we saw him action when they first attacked the wall. And then when they had that battle with the dead. Mm-hmm. But I was just like, oh man. And then he just had so many arrows in him, all in his backs and in his arms. And then he just, no matter how big you are, man, you can only handle so much. And then I was just like, no, I was waiting for him to at least maybe just fall down and everyone start pulling the arrows out. But, yeah, that was a tough one to watch. And then he ended up getting it and he was dead. But when they finally got Ramsay and they came down to blows,
the shield.
I wanted Jon Snow to just cut his head off, not, or hold him and then give him to his sisters, because I wanted her to do something. Man, she should have just walked in there or said, look, John, just put him in the town circle and I'm gonna cut his dick off for Theon, and then I'm gonna shove it in his mouth and then cut his head off. I was waiting for something like that. I mean it was cool. I mean, because they said that he starved his dog for 7 days, so, and then he was trying to be all, but I mean, I'll give it to Ramsay, man. He was a boss all the way to the end. He was all beat up, bloody, tied up, and he was still talking shit. So he's like, I know I'm done, but fuck it. And he goes, what else can you do? You might as well just be a boss to the end. And
right.
And then the dogs got him. I mean, she just stood there and watched, and they like basically chewed off his face and everything. Mm-hmm. So I was happy that he's dead, but I wanted her to like do something to him, torture him, and just, I think I would have got more pleasure out of her just shoving a knife into him or something. But he's dead and he's out of the way. Winterfell's taken over, and that was cool to see their banners come down and everything. So that was awesome. But that whole battle scene, I mean, I think that might have been the longest episode, because it was over an hour. Yeah, like I remember when you tell me before I watched it that could have been a movie.
Yeah.
And that's basically what it was. It was a small little movie within the series. And oh man, that was just epic. I want to watch that. Out of all the episodes I've seen so far, I want to watch that episode again, because it was probably the best episode so far out of all 6 seasons.
Yeah, amazing. It was what it was all leading up to. And it was amazing we got it in episode 9, because, as Thrones does, usually the 10th episode is a bit of a cool down. But this one also was no joke and had a lot going on. It starts big time with Loras, Iron Fist. He stands trial in front of the Seven Septons and begs forgiveness and They grant it, but Cersei doesn't show. And they're like, huh, what's going on? And we get a lot of music playing of like where people are. And Tommen, he wants to go attend the trial, but Zombie Mountain shows up and blocks the door. And he's like, what's going on here? And the one Lannister that joined the Seven, he follows a kid underground, basically, and it all leads up to this moment where he sees all the barrels of green flame under the Church of the Seven or whatever like that, and it intercuts between everybody's point of view, and he gets right to like where the light has been set, and right as he's doing that, the High Sparrow and Margaery, they're talking to each other, and she's like, Cersei's not here. Like, something's going on. We need to get out of here. Like, and the High Sparrow just realizes too late. And then, of course, you get the reaction. Boom! The whole place explodes in green flame, and it's madness.
I thought that was fucking awesome. I mean, Cersei, she's just straight up. I mean, she ain't no joke. Was it last season when they tortured her and did all that?
Season five.
When they did all that to her, I knew she had something up her sleeve. And all I was thinking was like, man, after they let her go and everything, after she did her atonement walk, I was like, man, fuck that. I mean, she basically told that one, she said, look, man, he goes, the last thing you can see is I'm going to kill your ass to that one lady that was torturing her or whipping her or whatever. But all I can think of was like, man, if I was her, man, I'd come back and blow that place up. So I was pretty excited when they showed the green flame and everything. I was like, oh shit! And then when that whole place blew up, I was like, fuck yeah! I mean that's what all those motherfuckers get. Because I mean, I've said it before, and I don't want to offend anyone. I'm not that much a guy for religion, and I just thought the whole religious thing in this, this is for the seven gods. You got to believe in what they say. There's a lot of people out there that try to force this religion thing on you, and I'm not one of those ones that are doing that. I'm more spiritual than I am religious. So but that's my choice. You guys can believe in whatever you want to believe in. I mean, I'm not going to hate on you for that. But when all those people in this were just like, you got to believe our way. Our way is the only way. And I did not like any of that in this. And then, but she straight up, man. Cersei was just like, she had that in her. Like, she had that look. I'm killing all of you.
How about that when I get out? High Sparrow to the green flame when it's like, it gets him, High Sparrow.
Yeah, I mean, I was glad that everyone got dusted in there. I mean, so that was cool. And her son, the king, what's his name?
Tommen. As soon as the building blows, Zombie Mountain walks out of the way, and then he just steps out the window. She obviously didn't think that was going to happen, or she would have had Zombie Mountain hold on to him.
But she knew he was going to die because that witch told her, remember?
Oh, that's right. That's right.
She said, all your kids are going to die. So
that's right.
She knew. She knew. I don't think she knew that he was going to go to
she
that.
She stopped him from attending, though. She had the Zombie Mountain stand in the door.
Because I just assumed that she just didn't want him to go out that way. But right. He was such a pussy. I was kind of happy he did that. I did not like that kid either. He wasn't as bad as his brother, but he was just weak. And he was only listening to Margaery. And a little. That's what you get, kid. He was obviously not king material to just let this this whole tragedy just fuck it, I'm gonna end it right here and just step out. But yeah, when he did that, I was like, oh man. I mean, I knew something bad was gonna happen because he was standing there watching. You could see all the flames and the smoke. He walked over there, took his crown. He was standing there with his crown on. He walked off, took his crown off. When they showed him come walking back into the picture, I went, oh, he's gonna kill himself. And that's exactly what he did. He just stepped out, boom, and he's dead, splattered on the sidewalk. Good riddance. I hated that little fucker.
Cersei takes control.
But she's the one. I mean, she's the one that wanted to rule it all. She's on the Iron Throne now, and she's just straight up, I ain't no joke, man. Fuck all you guys, and you got whoever got to get in my way is ass out. But I liked how she got that lady, the The one that was her. I'm glad that she got her, and then just she had someone in there working her over. But I loved how when Cersei was walking out of the room, she was going, "Shame, shame." Yeah. See that she just Lena Headey. Oh man, I love her. She's beautiful. I loved her in 300. She was awesome in the Terminator, Sarah Connor Chronicles, and everything else she's done that she's popped up in. And she's just badass in this. I'm glad I got to meet her a few years ago at Comic-Con when all this started. And oh my God, it was amazing. Amazing series so far up to this point. And, yeah, I'm glad all those fuckers blew up because they all deserved it. And the whole church blew up too.
Exactly. Yeah. Incredible way to start the episode too, especially you just weren't expecting, at least I wasn't, but, just a few quick hits on characters because we like leaving for the season. So just quick reaction on these. We haven't mentioned them all season, but Sam had a storyline where he went to see his family, decided to just take the sword. He goes to train as a maester. Before Jon was even stabbed, he was sent because Aemon Targaryen passed away last season. So the Wall needed a new maester, somebody who knows like spells and magic and healing and doctor stuff. So that's where Sam ends up, if you have anything on Sam.
That was cool. I mean, I like Sam, what Sammy was doing, but his family, his dad was a little dick, and his mom was like, oh, it's okay, but that's your dad. But in those times, you gotta listen to what the man's saying, and his dad was just, he was an asshole. So I was kind of glad that he went, you know what, fuck you, dad, and he took the sword and rolled out. So I mean, I'm glad he didn't leave his family there, because that's why he went down there, because he was gonna leave I don't even know, his wife, is that his wife or just girlfriend, or
yeah, I mean, they,
but that's the, little, that's little kids, that's so. Little Sam, yeah. So but I like Sam, and I don't want to like him too much because I have a feeling he's going to die. But if he does die, I hope it's not for a few more seasons or however long. This two more seasons and that's it. Oh, well, come on, Sam. Don't die. And you writers, just let him live happily ever after with his family. Don't kill him.
Right. The Onion Knight discovers that Melisandre was behind the whole burning of that girl, and he's pretty pissed about that, and asks Jon Snow to get rid of her. So he doesn't kill her, but he outcasts her, and she's like, I can help you, and he's like, nah, you can leave.
I think they should have kept her around. She's coming back. I mean, yeah, they didn't kill her, so, but they show her in the little trailer. Yeah, he had to get rid of her because she was evil. I mean, they burned up that little girl, and that
that's what made the Onion Knight so mad.
Yeah, so I can see that they didn't want her around. And but if it wasn't for her, Jon Snow wouldn't be alive. But
right.
The Onion Knight knew that, hey man, I know she can do it. So but yeah, I mean, she's coming back. We already know that. So who knows? We'll see. But if they have to kill her, man, they better cut her head off.
Right, exactly. In like team up news going into this next season, it looks like the Sand Snakes and Grandma Tyrell and Varys, the bald guy, they're all kind of aligning, and it looks like the Tyrells and the Sand Snakes, so Dorne, everybody's kind of joining up now with Daenerys. So she's got so much force behind her.
Well, they have to, man. Everyone's got to join her. You got to pick a side.
Yeah.
And if anyone, you're going to pick a side who's got more firepower, and it's obviously the dragons. So look, hey, we want. Hopefully, she doesn't take over, and then everyone turn on her.
Right.
So I don't know. We'll see.
Daenerys decides to leave Dario behind. That was her man, but she's just going to leave him in charge of Meereen, and she's going to take off for the Seven Kingdoms, and they have a whole conversation about like, oh, don't you want me in this and that? And she's like, well, I might have to marry somebody over there, so sorry, bro.
Well, she was going to do that anyway because she was supposed to marry someone else. So, man, that's just her little... her little side thing, and her little breezy on the
rule Meereen.
Yeah, so well, she trusted him, and So, I mean, hey, man, just chill down here and have all the women you want. And I'm going to go over here. And who knows? I got to this whole that's another thing about all this is this arranged marriage shit. I mean, it's I know some countries still do it. We don't do it here. They're sometimes it is here done here in America, even today. It's not very publicized, but it does happen. I don't know all these weird yahoos that like to do shit like that, but I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, I mean, he's down there, she's going over there, but she's gonna rule. I think she's gonna be at the end of this whole series. If she's not dead, it'll have to be her. I know. I think Cersei's going to end up dying before this whole thing is over with. But I mean, I hope she lasts all the way to the very last episode and then go out. So, but I don't know. We'll see.
Yep. Arya's storyline. So she's backed into a corner. The Waif finds her, she blows out the light, and she seems to emerge victorious where she shows back up at the House of Black and White. But Jack and Nagar kind of greets her oddly, and he's like, you know, a girl is finally no one and stuff like that. And she's like, I'm going back home. I might blow your mind here. My theory is, and I have nothing to back this up, I think Arya died. I think the Waif took her face and is wearing her face. I think Arya is dead. But the interesting thing is, before the episode ends, she shows back up in Westeros where she is that Walda Frey's, the guy that did the Red Wedding, and she takes him out.
But there's other things going on. She's hanging out with the dude with the burned-up face. The dude that Brienne pushed off the rock.
The Hound?
Yeah, you didn't see those pictures out there? That's why she's alive. She killed that girl. She was way better than hers because there's pictures.
Well, it's interesting that Jaqen said that, like, oh, girls finally know one.
I don't know. Well, I think she's... I don't think he's dead. I don't know. We'll see, man, because he's full of trickery and
right.
And illusions and all this shit. But I don't know. But she, yeah,
she
that's
got Walda Frey.
She's still alive. She's still alive because she's hanging out with the Hound. And I saw that picture today. Spoiler alert, if you guys aren't looking at these pictures, but everything that comes up now with Game of Thrones, I don't care. I'm looking at everything.
Yeah.
All the pictures, all the videos, and all that.
Another storyline I didn't mention was undead Uncle Benjen. He's not White Walker. He's not dead. He was in the first episode of the series, and that's who Jon thought was coming back when he got betrayed and stabbed. They're like, your Uncle Benjen's here. And he's like, really? And he runs out, and then it's like traitor, and they stab him. But yeah, so he was alive, and he finds Bran. He's not White Walker, but he's like undead kind of status. He's like an interesting in the middle. So that's where Bran's storyline ends the season. He's talking to Uncle Benjen, who sends him. He sends him. He says, go south of the wall, but he can't. Like, Benjen says he can't leave.
Shit, I kind of remember that, but I don't. But I mean, if that's probably why he can't leave, because if he goes on south of the wall, he's gonna melt or die. So I don't know, maybe he needs the cold. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I kind of remember that scene, but then I there was so much good shit that happened before all that.
Right.
I don't know. We'll see.
Okay, and then the big revelation, the kind of thing which you were wondering was going on, the Tower of Joy. Ned in the past fought outside in front of it, and we only see part of it earlier in the season. At the end of the season, we get to see the final parts of it. He rushes into the tower where his sister's there, and I may mix up some of the characters here, but his sister is giving birth. Ned's sister is giving birth. And
was he banging his sister?
No, not at all. She was with the Mad King Targaryen. So what we seem to be getting here, and you'll notice if you watch that scene, it goes right from that flashback. It turns right into modern day Jon Snow. So what they appear to be saying is that this guy you thought was a bastard Stark is indeed of Stark and Targaryen lineage. He wasn't Ned's true son, but he was of both Stark and Targaryen blood. So he is pretty rightful. And the whole book series is called A Song of Ice and Fire. And it looks like Jon Stark may have both. Targaryen and Stark. So
yeah,
Stark ice, Targaryen fire. He may be fireproof.
I don't know. We'll see. I mean, the whole starting on Sunday. Right. And yeah, we'll just have to see.
So from that moment, Little Lady Mormont gets her even better scene. She basically calls out everybody who didn't rally behind Jon, saying, "You're all busters." She's basically saying, "You're all busters. I was there. My troops were there at the battle. All y'all weren't doing anything. And you need to rally behind him. Ned Stark's blood flows through him, and that's good enough for me. He's the king in the north." And then everybody's like, stands up like, "Oh, yeah, like, sorry I wasn't there, but, like, I should have been there." And, like, she's right, like, "King in the North! King in the North!" And they all rally behind him, King in the North, so.
Yeah, she's a little boss. I mean, if anyone, I want to see her sitting there in the Iron Throne at the end. Who knows? Maybe she will. Who knows? Maybe everyone just gets killed and is like, "Hey, look, someone's got to be in here, and I'm the only one with a big dick, so, I'm a chill right here." But it's that little actress, man. She's badass. And I'm glad that she just raised up on everyone, because she's like, "Look, man, you guys are all bitches." And she goes, "And I can't be associated with you bitches. So we need Jon Snow up in there." So that's cool. I mean, I just love that little girl. And I hope she's got a bigger part in either this season or just the future seasons that's coming. So she's fucking badass.
All right, and the final story points. Cersei officially takes the Iron Throne with Jaime looking on a little suspiciously. And the season ends as Daenerys and crew finally, after six seasons, are setting sail for Westeros. We wanted her to do this in season one with Khal Drogo, and it took her six seasons. But she's finally got the army, she's got the horsemen, she's got the iron ships, she's got the dragons. She's got it all, and they're sailing off, and it's a completely epic shot, and they play the little Thrones music over it, and they're all standing there ready to rule.
That was a scene stole from Troy, because if you've seen Troy, there was a scene where there was an aerial shot and all these boats and everything. But she might have wanted to do this in the first season, but she didn't have all the firepower. Now she's got it, and all she had was the eggs. Now she's got three unhatched egg dragons, and she's got everything. So look, I'm gonna roll up here and show these fools I ain't no joke. So we'll see, because in this little trailer she looks a little shocked and sad in what's going on. But I don't know, we'll see. We'll see the beginning of it on Sunday. And that can be it.
Yeah. Just quick wrap up on what you thought of the whole six seasons as a whole.
If you were with us from the very beginning when we whole started all this, I had no fucking interest in this show. I was like, I'm way late to the party. The first season was kind of like, okay, whatever. I mean, I wasn't seeing what everyone was seeing, but when the dragons came into play, I was like, all right, cool. But that wasn't until the very end. Second season, I was like, okay, let me get this through, and it was okay. Third season was good. Fourth season, I was really hyped up, but then when it got to the fifth season, I just like halted, because it was just like nothing was happening, and it was just kind of dragging. I think that took me the longest to get through season five, or just the beginning half, because once it got to the half point and it got to the end is when it got really exciting. And then as soon as I was done with that, I just rolled right into season six and zipped through all that, because I was like, man, fuck, this season was bad. I think season six was probably the best season so far, and episode nine in season six, the Battle of the Bastards, man, that was fucking epic. And I fucking, like I said, I'm gonna watch that again. But the whole series as far as a whole, it is awesome. And all you people know that do watch this show, and I'm glad that I'm caught up before this new season starts. So And what I'm really hyped up about the most next week when I go to Comic-Con is I'm going to go into the Game of Thrones experience thing and just see what it is. And I'm sure they have the Iron Throne in there or a replica of it because I see all these pictures. Mm-hmm. Don't you have one?
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
I saw yours and I saw Courtney's and I'm definitely going to go in there. I'm going to have my skateboard with me because I want to just sit there on the throne. When I see that throne, I'm going to pose like Conan the Barbarian, like Arnold Schwarzenegger at the end of Conan, the first one. He was badass sitting there. I'll imagine myself looking that badass, but then when you see the picture, I won't be as badass. But I definitely want to sit in that throne and I want to have my skateboard with me if I remember. But my skateboard is always with me, so who knows? But I don't know if I'll carry it around. I'm definitely going to go in there on Thursday because I can't really go into the actual con until Friday. But I'm going to be down there. Just get ready for more episodes. And I'm glad that you guys stuck with us through this whole experience of me watching Game of Thrones. And I'm fucking fully on board with this show. And this series, I think, is fucking amazing. And you guys already know that because you're all watching it. But big shout outs to Steve and
everybody.
No, I can't remember. Oh man, there's so many people. I'm sorry, dude. But anyway, shout out to Steve and the other guy I'm thinking of that were telling me to get on this. I know your name, dude, but I forgot. I mean, them always telling me that, yeah, man, you got to get on Thrones and finish it. But now I'm done. I'm caught up. And this is the last episode of this Nez on the Thrones. But then it's going to continue into a segment, Nez on the Throne and everything. So get ready for all that. We'll have our next, our first episode, or segment of Nez on the Throne on our next episode.
Monday or Tuesday.
Either one of those days. And yeah, just get ready for all that. And that's it for me. So, hey, everyone, thank you so much for tuning in to all this and get ready for more.
Yep, thanks everybody, and I'll leave you with, if we don't put aside our enmities and bound together, we will die, and then it doesn't matter whose skeleton sits on the Iron Throne. The Great War is here.